such a big crowd, I believe that because of this topic, first and foremost, Tefillah is such an important topic to me, and I'm sure that you're all sharing the same. I would like to start by just give a quick introduction. I know he gave an introduction, so many things that I forgot about myself already. But I have four wonderful children. One of them is sitting here, just came back from Eretz Yisrael, from Ravender. My son is serving in the army in Tzanchanim. I have a daughter in high school, and a daughter starting junior high at BPY at the fall. So I have it all, basically. I know them before, during, and after, and it's such a such a pleasure to be in that position already, to see how a child grow from a little child to a soldier. I would like to start with the meaning of tefillah, the word tefillah. What is the essence of tefillah, and what is the meaning of the word tefillah? And I found many explanations. I would like to share with you three. The first one is from Rachel. Rachel Imenu said, "Vatomer Rachel, Naftule Elokim niftalti, emachoti gam yacholti, vatikra shemo Naftali." She said, "Naftule Elokim niftalti." What is Naftule Elokim? That's why she called him Naftali. Rashi said, "Chiburim me'et hamakom nichabarti." I had a connection with, I connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how I was succeed to get him. That's why I'm calling him Naftali. Rav Nachman Mibersov explained, "Dashi ikar ha'itchaburut ve'dvekut la'Hashem yitbarach yaledei tefillah." The main way to connect to Hashem is by tefillah. "Ki tefillah hi shar shederech sham nichnasim la'Hashem yitbarach u'misham mekirim oto." Tefillah, it's a gate. That through that gate, you're getting to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "Ki tefillah hi malchut ve'tefillah lashon hitchaburut." Here again, tefillah, it's a connection. Litchaber, it's to get connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Simcha Bonim Mepshischa said the following. He asked the following question about ha'onish, the punishment that the Nachash got. He said, "What if you look at ve'afar tochal? It's basically the best blessing that you can get. You're walking anywhere you walk, you have something to eat." So he said, if you look at the punishment of Adam and Chava, you see that Adam got bezeat apecha tochalachem. And what happened if that doesn't work? Adam have the opportunity and the obligation to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say tefillah and be connected to Hashem. Chava be'etzev tildi balim. The same exact thing. If she didn't have this, it's not coming easy. She had the opportunity, she had the way to be connected, to talk to Hashem. But Nachash doesn't have it. It's always have. He'll always have food. There's no opportunity for him to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's the biggest punishment, to not to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first explanation is tefillah ze lashon shel chibur. It's a connected. We are connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting closer. There is a communication between us and Hashem. The next one is by the Maharal Miprag. And it said that tefillah is milashon hitbonenut. Vayamot pinchas vayipalel. Rashi said on the pasuk, "Ra'ot panecha lo pilalti, lashon machshava." You think. Tefillah is a time of reflection. Ladayanim koreim pelilim. Why? Because he's judging, he is using his head to judge. Tefillah is a time for us to reflect on ourselves. Tefillah is a time for us to look deeply about what we are doing and how we're doing things. And the last one, tefillah is milashon pele. It is a miracle. And it's very close to Aramban. Aramban said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering our tefillot, it's b'chinat chesed. It's like chesed. It's b'chinat chesed v'nes. It's like a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with us. So here we have three different approaches. Tefillah, it's a connection. Communicate with Hashem. Tefillah, it's self-reflection. Thinking about what happened. Thinking about yourself. And the last one is a miracle, and definitely a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering all of our needs. But if you take all three of them and you put them together, you get to a very straightforward maskana, conclusion. Tefillah, it's a tool to get to Emunat Hashem. Tefillah, it's a tool to get to Emunat Hashem. And I want to raise a very hard question today. Do we have an obligation to teach our next generation Emunah and Tefillah? And I'm asking that because you're going to see in a few seconds, it's not obvious to me. Do we have parents, educators, but also as a community? Because some of us do not have children in this in this community anymore. But as a community, do we have an obligation? Do we need to think about Emunat Hashem and Tefillah? Do we need to teach them Emunat Hashem and Tefillah? Many times I have parents coming and asking me about what is my child saying during Tefillah? And our school is teaching, it's part of the enrichment that we're teaching our children. We're teaching Sephardic and Ashkenazic melodies. We're teaching both Halakha of Sephardic and Ashkenazic. So many times I have questions by parents. What is the children going to say? Are they going to use the Sephardic to the Ashkenazic to or so forth, so on and so forth? But it's very rare to find a parent coming to see and, to me and said and ask how they're going to say Tefillah. Meaning, are they going to have Kavanah? Are they going to understand what they're saying or not? So that also raised the question, is that important to teach our children to think, to say, to understand what they're saying? This year we start in our school, we decided to work on Tefillah, and I'll explain a little bit more later, but I heard there is a very, very well-known school in New York. They're doing an amazing thing in Tefillah. So before we started, I decided to take one of the teachers that work on it and to have a trip. And we got up early in the morning, we drove, we wanted to make sure that we are there at 7:45. We wanted to sit in Tefillah. And the Tefillah was, you know, regular, not so important, not so special. And after that, I had an opportunity to speak to the principal. And I said to him, "No, tell me, well, is there something special that you're doing?" And I was a little bit shocked. I looked at my teacher and I was like, "Whoa, did he really say that?" And he looked at me and he said, "Listen, I believe that the child do not have a kavanah. That's something that as adults, most of us cannot understand what we are saying. So that's not even on our radar. We are not teaching. We want to make sure that they are respectful during Tefillah and they know where they are. So if someone going to ask them to be a chazan or something, they know to be mitmatze basidu, to be, you know, where every Tefillah in the sidu." So you see that the educators in the world are not so easily saying, like the obvious question I asked before, and you probably said to yourself, obviously we need to teach Emunah, obviously we need to teach Kavanah and Tefillah. But is that really an obligation to teach our children? I believe that we as a society, as a modern Orthodox community, have a very, we are standing in the middle of two ways here. We need to decide what is the most important thing for us. Is that important to say Tefillah? Is that important to lechaven, to understand? Maybe it's just a social event with no connection to our children. What is Tefillah? In many times during my job, I have the opportunity, said in Hebrew, Oreach lerega roe kol pega. If you are a guest, you see things that regular people do not see. And I have a lot of opportunities that I'm visiting, a lot of batei knesiot, because I'm going, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, whatever it is, I'm visiting. Many times I see that the parents, my own parents, other parents, standing during tefillah and talking. Just talking. Coming late for tefillah. Tefillah starts at 9. See people walking at 10:30. People going out. What's the name of it? Going to drink in the middle of tefillah. Kiddush club. Kiddush club. And I wonder about it. I went to a bet knesset a few years ago, one of the biggest bete knesset in the area, for bar mitzvah. I don't know why the rabbi picked that Shabbat to speak about it, but he said, listen, we have a problem with our youth minyan. What was the problem with the youth minyan? They started tefillah at 10:15, and they couldn't find a minyan until the last minute. So the rabbi sent an email to the parents saying, if your child is not there at 10:15, we're going to lock the door. Truth. A true story. We're going to lock the door. We're not going to let them in. So make sure your child is coming in. And the rabbi didn't just did that. He called some parents and said, hey, do us a favor. Make sure your child is getting to tefillah. Not at 7, not at 8. At 10:15. And the parents said, we are sorry. The child, you know, he or she working very hard the whole week long. And Shabbat, we let them sleep. Obviously, and I know I'm asking hard questions. I'm blessed that I got this opportunity to speak for a larger crowd. Obviously, the way that we're conducting ourselves in Bet HaKnesset, it's not just influent here and now, it's influent the future of Am Yisrael. I believe in it. We as a society, we need to think very well, very good, deep. Do we need to change something the way that we're doing in shul? Maybe 3 hours tefillah is too long. Maybe it's ena tzibur ya'achol la'amod bo. Maybe we need to think about different ways to do it. I know it's easy. We're doing that. We call mitzvata anshim elumada, coming at whatever time is, and it's just a regular tefillah, start at 9, most bate knesiyot, end at 11:30. Think about what the children are seeing on the side. So it's time for us as a community to face this question and say, hey, maybe we need to make some changes. I don't know what the changes are. I'm not here to recommend any change. I just believe that it's time, because something is not working. Rav Aviner is asking in his book, Chinuch Be'ahava, he's asking the following question. How can you explain emunah, and especially in the young age, in elementary school, junior high school, how can you explain that tefillah is something important? How can you do that? So he answered, first he said that emunah, and that's why we're teaching Chumash Bereshit to the younger age, because you can use the stories of the Chumash to teach emunah. But then he said something very important. He said if the melamed, if the teacher himself, the teacher, amore or amora, are not feeling the emunah, are not filled with emunah, how can they teach it? The mechanech need to feel the emunah, need to believe. And then use the personal connection, the relationship. Use it, not use it. The personal relationship that you have between you and your child, between you and your student. Use it to teach what you are, Adam Ma'amin. And that brings me to the role model. Dugma Ishit. A few months ago, the 2 days conference, not so far away from here, and one of the group discussions that we have as principals, one of the principals raised the question, what can we do about tefillah? What was devastating to me, sitting on the side, is looking at probably 6 or 8 head of schools, and their face looked like yeush midat, like I almost give up. Kimat, almost. Yeush midat, almost give up. So I want to tell you that I personally did not give up on tefillah. I did not give up on kavanah and ahavat tefillah. I believe in 5 things, and I try to do it in our school every single day. First, the dugma ishit. The way that you conduct yourself, if you walk into tefillah as a parent, as a community member, it doesn't have to be anything related to a child, as a community member, the way that you conducting yourself when you're sitting in Beit HaKnesset, that is a lesson for the little children that are coming, for the adults, for the teens. Dugma ishit, if you feel it from inside, if you're there and you're showing that this is important for you, and you believe in what you're doing, that's number one. The second one is havanat ha'emunah. We need to understand that there is a very strong relationship between the way that we are believing in Hashem and tefillah. The connection that we have between us and Hashem through tefillah. The third one is havanat ha'tefillah. And I probably know that BPY is known for his Hebrew. It's not just because we want him to go to the Machne Yehuda and have an argument about a kilo shel agvaniot. That's not it. It's more about I'm going to read a siddur. I'm going to read something. I will understand what I'm saying. I will have the tool to understand the words of the tefillah. And we need to take the time and explain it in a very simple way for the younger kids and a much more deeper way to the older kids. I also believe that tefillah cannot take for a long period of time. I have a meeting every time with my, before bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, I'm asking all the parents to come and meet with me. I want to check how they're going to celebrate, to give them some advice. One of the main advices that I'm giving them, speeches should be short. Because I know I'm talking for 40 minutes, that's too long. So if I'm... People understand a message when it's short. When the rabbi is standing there and talking for 45 minutes, he lost the congregation. When the chazan is there and saying tefillah for 3.5 hours, people lose the patience and the focus. So I believe in a short tefillah. Not too short, but short tefillah. And the last thing that we are doing very, very well in BPY, and that's coming, I said it to those group of principals, it's coming from the Sephardic world. I don't know if you know this, I'm a Sephardic guy. But it's coming from the Sephardic world. In the Sephardic Beit Knesset, the rows are never like that. They're always around the bima. Everyone facing each other. But it's not just because, you know what, it's nice to see each other on Shabbat. It's also because the way that they sing tefillah, it's everyone saying that together, and at least one of them is saying that in a loud voice. There's no point during tefillah that you don't hear what's going on. You don't know what, there's no quiet time. The whole time there is either the whole group or at least one member of the Beit HaKnesset saying the tefillah in a loud voice. So I believe in voice, the voice of tefillah. I believe in the tunes. I am running tefillah every single day with the junior high in our school. And one thing that I'm making sure that happens all the time is from Ode Ani until Aleinu L'Shabeach, it's a song. It's a short song. We took some parts out, but on purpose, because I don't want it to be an hour and a half. But it's a song. For 40 minutes, we are singing for Hashem. As I said before, this year, our school took this project of teaching more deep understanding about tefillah. One of my teachers, actually next week he's going back to Israel after 4 years, took the whole year, those 30 weeks that we have in school, and divided the tefillah to 40 parts. And every week we focused about one specific part. I actually brought some samples if anyone would like to see. And we tried to explain to the children what they are saying and do some activity around that. But I also believe, and I just met my friends, Rabbi Hagler, Dr. Prager, I'm sure that all the schools in the area are doing an amazing job, working very, very hard to instill tefillah, to instill emunah, to explain to the children what is tefillah is about, how you're conducting it. But we cannot do it without the community. As much as we want, we can't do it without you. And I believe there is a very strong connection between what happened in Beit HaKnesset, what happened in home, and what happened in schools. And the only way to do it is to work together. I want to tell you a story. I was born in Yerushalayim. Both of my parents are Yerushalmim, born in Yerushalayim. Actually, for my father's side, I'm the seventh generation in Yerushalayim. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, lived in Shchunat Makor Baruch. If you know the Yerushalayim, it's literally like 3 or 4 blocks down from Machne Yehuda. Everyone know that area? I knew that the area between Geula and Machne Yehuda. My grandfather had a store in Yafo, and I used to spend a lot of time in Machne Yehuda, a lot of time in that area. But his Beit Knesset was called Yagel Yaakov. Now, Yagel Yaakov, I personally had my Brit Milah in Yagel Yaakov. I had my Bar Mitzvah in Yagel Yaakov. I didn't have the zechut to marry there, but I was there. My grandfather, actually, after my Bar Mitzvah, 2 or 3 years after, he moved out from Yerushalayim. But I remember as a child, walking to this Beit HaKnesset, it was always full. Always. It was probably in Eretz Israel, 200 to 300 people in a Beit HaKnesset. It's huge. I remember a story that someone told me, that a chazan, a paitan, that wanted to make sure that he is known, he went to say tefillah there. Otherwise, if you didn't pass that test, you are not a good one. But unfortunately, a few years ago, I took my children with my parents. We did a Tiul Shorashim. How do they call it in English? I don't even know. Yes, roots. Yeah. So we did a whole day in Yerushalayim. We walked from one place to the other. Even my mother's school, everyone. We did it all. And we went to see my grandparents' house. And they live like 2 or 3 houses away from the Beit Knesset, from Yagel Yaakov. And I walked to see it. It was just my memory, my child memory, as a child. That was my memory, that place. I walked in and I saw a sign that this Beit Knesset is closed except for Shabbat morning. Maybe they have a minyan. Now we are not talking about somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Talking about the middle of Yerushalayim. You can't have more center than that place. And I was wondering why. What happened to this amazing community that there's no minyan? What's the secret here? What happened? So I came across something. There is a midrash that's always ringing in my head, in the back of my head. The midrash said that Achaz, it's ketuba pasuk vayehi b'yimei Achaz ben Yotam. So the midrash is trying to explain maze vayehi. Always there is a vayehi, zelashon shel tzar. There is something bad happened here. So the midrash is trying to explain what was wrong here. What lashon tzar here. So the midrash said that Achaz said the following. Im en gdaim, en tiyashim. Im en tiyashim, en tzon. Im en tzon, en roe. Im en roe, en olam. If you don't have, I hope I got it right, little goat, nachon? You don't have tiyashim, you don't have them big. When you don't have tiyashim, you don't have them, you don't have a big bakal. Im en tzon, you don't have a shepherd. Im en roe, if you don't have a shepherd, there's no world. And that's exactly, the Midrash saying, that's exactly what Achaz said. And that's why it's Lashon Shel Tsar. Im en ktanim, en talmidim. If you don't have them little ones, you're not going to have them older. Im en talmidim, en chachamim. Im en chachamim, en Torah. Im en Torah, en batei knesiot u batei midrashot. Im en batei knesiot u batei midrashot. En HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashre Shechinato Ba'olam. If you don't have them little, you're not going to have an older one. And this is exactly what he did. He went and he closed the Batek Sefer. He closed the schools. And that is Lashon Tsar. Because he knew to come and convince the older people, to come and convince the community that something is wrong, to change them, to convince them not to be Oved Hashem, will be very hard. If I get them small, if I'm not going to let them be and have an emunah when they're little, a few years it's going to take. And that's what happened in Yagel Yaakov. It was an amazing Bet HaKnesset. But one thing, they couldn't do it right. They didn't make sure that there is a future. The little children are not there. So it was a beautiful Bet HaKnesset. But there was no future. I believe, and I know I asked some hard questions, that's my job, that as a community, we have an obligation for the next generation. Our children, regardless if they are ours or not, are the future of Am Yisrael. That is the main reason why I'm in Jewish education, because I believe in the future of Am Yisrael. And I believe that our, as a community, when the time that we are together as a community, mainly it's together when we are saying tefillah. And during that time, we are not going to show our emunat Hashem, we're not going to have tiyashim, we're not going to have talmidei chachamim, we're not going to have a generation to come. I want to finish, I have a minute? Okay. I want to finish with one thing that I shared with my staff last week, the last minute before school was end. There is a phrase or a short poem was written by a French poet. So he said it, I read it in Hebrew because it's beautiful in Hebrew. He said, it probably was in French obviously. Ech bonim sfina, how do you build a boat? Osfim anashim venotim bahem ahava et ahava ve'akmiya layam harachav hagadol ve'ein sofi. You gather people and you instill in them, you plant in them the love to the sea, the endless sea. Velo osfim anashim, and you don't gather people, and you tell them, ve'omrim lahem le'esof etzim, le'achin tochniot ve'livnot sfina. You don't say to people, just gather some pieces of wood, make plans and build a ship. And I took it and I said it to my teachers, I said it in a little bit different way. I said, how you educate children? Ech mechanchim yeladim? Osfim yeladim venotim bahem ahava vekmiha lalimud. You gather children, but you plant in them the love for learning, the emunah. And you don't just gather them and teach them how to learn. Our goal as a community is to teach our children. It's not just to teach our children and ourselves how to say tefillah. it's also to plant in the love for tefillah. Toda rabah.